We're going to be in Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. That is on page 854 if you have one of the Emmanuel Pew Bibles. If you're in your own Bible, Luke 19. I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of the gospel lesson this morning. Starting with verse 1. He, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Some of y'all remember, don't you? He was also a chief tax collector. Well, now that's a job you would have wanted if you didn't mind everybody not liking you. It's kind of like being a preacher, you know? So Zacchaeus had these people going out and taking taxes. And of course, you know, they would skim off the top. Then they owed Rome a certain amount. Well, that money went to Zacchaeus, then to Rome. Zacchaeus got to line his pockets. That's why he says he was wealthy, he was rich. And so he was probably very unpopular. And then here comes this encounter with Jesus. And in Luke's gospel, this is the last encounter with an individual that we would consider to be an outcast as he's heading into Jerusalem to the cross. Zacchaeus, short little guy. Some of y'all know what that's like. I've never had that problem. The joke at Stacy's house for a long time was the only reason they let her date me was because I was tall enough to reach the ketchup in the cabinet. But now they figured out how to get it without me. So, Logan, put Logan on the counter. Grandkids can solve everything. But so Zacchaeus is struggling to see. Can I imagine a little head popping up around everybody's shoulders? And the people know who he is. Now, if this guy's stealing money from you, he's scamming you, he's making your life hard, you're probably... Don't ask. Y'all would do it too. I'm not letting him see. He pokes his head in there. I might even catch him with a little elbow. But Zacchaeus is struggling to see, and then he does something that's countercultural for a rich man to do. He runs, and he climbs up in a tree. I want you to think you got your Sunday best on. I mean, you got the best clothes you have in your closet on. Are you climbing a tree? Probably not. Not unless you're a young boy, and then you just climb trees and tear up your clothes and get fussed at because your mom told you not to ruin those new clothes. But here's Zacchaeus, probably the richest man on the street, and he's sitting up in a tree because he wants to see Jesus. He's curious about Jesus. It says he wants to see who he is. He's probably heard a lot of stories, but now he wants to see. Have you ever been curious about things in your life? We even watch a show called Curious George. That little monkey, He gets into everything. I can tell you this. The times in my life when I've been curious about something, I found a way to make it happen. And I'm not talking about like I wonder about. No, but man, that's going to drive me nuts if I don't find out. One time I got stuck on top of a roof because of it. Curiosity got the best of me. Maybe we're curious about a restaurant, so we'll go try it, won't we? Maybe that's your faith story. You were just curious about Jesus. And so you came sometime, somewhere, to someplace, and you heard about this story. Sometimes I think we're still curious about Jesus. We're curious if we really can trust him with all that we have. But he tells Zacchaeus to come down. And he doesn't say, little man, tax collector, sinner, unworthy. He says, Zacchaeus, I don't know about y'all, but I would much rather be called my name than some of the attributes that define me. I would much rather Jesus look at me and say, Andrew, come down, instead of him saying, sinner, failure, when are you going to learn, guy? He calls Zacchaeus by name. So Zacchaeus comes down. The Reformation led to what John Wesley, he took it from the Reformation, but he believed and he taught about this thing called the priesthood of all believers. We talked about it in a Bible study, a sermon series we did way back last year. But the priesthood of all believers. And what he said in that is, no, we're not all called to be clergy, but we're all called to be priests in the way that we live. He's saying we've all been called by God as disciples to share the good news, to free the captives. So Zacchaeus was called by name and by Jesus. Do you know what profession Zacchaeus goes into after this transformation? He's a tax collector. But guess what? He's an honest tax collector. He's a different kind of tax collector. See, Jesus called him to change. Jesus called him to change. He didn't call him and say, oh, go change your job. He called him and said, go live and go serve through your job differently. And we do see Zacchaeus is indeed changed. And those of you that are still doing your one word, your chapter a day that we're doing, I know we're not there yet, but this is the beauty of Scripture. This is why you can't just take 10 verses out and just focus on just it. Sometime today or sometime this week, go back and look at Luke 18. Jesus has just told the rich young ruler to inherit eternal life. He needs to sell all he has. And what does the rich young ruler do? He leaves sad, because he's not willing to do it. Here we are, same group, same people here in these stories. Here's Zacchaeus, a wealthy man, and he says on his own, I will give half of all I have to the poor. And if I've done somebody wrong, he did everybody wrong, I'll give them back four times as much. The reality is the money no longer was important to Zacchaeus because he experienced something much greater. He had a true life-changing encounter with Jesus. I read this quote this week, and maybe it's because I'm longing for a vacation, but maybe it's just because it's a good quote. I don't know, but George Boyd wrote this. And he's talking about the two different types of Christians. He says, the vacationer naturally wants to indulge his or her interests and desires while avoiding inconvenience as much as possible. But soldiers, Some of y'all can relate to this because you have served so bravely in our forces. But soldiers understand they are called to sacrifice their interest and their desires and suffer major inconveniences, if not their whole life, to advance the cause for which they fight. And he would later go on to say, it's time for Christians to come off of vacation and to put on the armor of God and get into the battle. We all like vacations, don't we? Zacchaeus was a vacation kind of Jew. He was doing whatever he wanted to do to whoever he wanted to, and he wasn't going to let anything change that. And then Jesus showed up. And from that point forward, Zacchaeus became a warrior for the kingdom of God. He goes from being curious about Jesus to surrendering everything he has. See, sadly, sometimes in our modern context of church, we think all you have to do is go have one good, powerful, emotional experience, one that'll make you go to lunch singing the last hymn. Don't y'all love those kind of Sundays where you're singing the last hymn in the buffet line or at the table, and everybody looking at you like you're weird, and you say, I'm weird. We got that foot going. And you're changed for this amount of time. But see, change is an ongoing process. C.S. Lewis said, relying on God has to begin all over again every single day as if nothing yet before had been done. This week I read about somebody who walked in on Billy Graham as he was preparing for a crusade. And they said they found him on his face, weeping and crying for God to help him, for God to show up and help the people listening, for God to receive glory for what was about to take place. And the person that saw this, their question was, how does this, okay, your first time, sure, your first handful of time, sure, but you've been doing this for decades. But Billy Graham understood. Every single day you have to have that same desperation for God that you had when you first believed. And so this Lent, I've challenged you and I've blown your phones up with text messages and I've pushed us to try to grow deeper in our walk with Christ. And there's nothing more powerful than seeing an individual's life change. Nothing more powerful than that. But church, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not even going to bring you into it. There are still things I could surrender to Jesus so that I could follow him a little better. That's just me. And so that's my prayer. Zacchaeus, I want to be like Zacchaeus. He surrendered everything. And so I want to be there. Not that I have money to give, but I want to be, Lord, if you're going to take this, take that. If you need this, use it. Help us to be the type of church that says, I surrender all. Let's pray.